Yeah, well, it's quite a complex issue. It's been going for a week or so now. There's a particular tension, obviously, between the striking workers and the mine itself, requests for better salaries and so on, which has led to the strike in the first place. But there's an additional tension between two different competing unions who earlier in the year were competing for representation with the employer. There seems to be some sort of political tension between these groups, perhaps related to their links with COSATU and the ruling ANC alliance, which has COSATU as part of its sort of political alliance. So there seems to be a number of factors. And then in the last few days, there's also been tension with the police. Two security guards and I think two police officers were killed in the last few days before this outbreak of violence yesterday. And there's been calls on some of the miners to be prepared for more violence and seem to be sort of positioning themselves against the police as well.
And some have said there is a culture of violence that remains left over from apartheid days. In your analysis, is that a continuing issue, the idea that protests or industrial actions might include elements of violence?
Yeah, I think absolutely there is a history of that violent protest action, whether it's in strike action. We seem to have seen a particular sort of resurgence of it in the last few years, with particularly violent what's called here as service delivery protests, sort of localized protests about issues of government service delivery, things like access to clean water and sanitation and electricity and that sort of thing. And they have been increasingly violent, along with violent strikes. I think, you know, a lot of it may be the history that this has become, you know, normal and acceptable in South Africa. But I think there are people raising questions about whether there has also been a lack of leadership on the part of union leaders in the case of strikes and political leaders generally in condemning violence and calling on their members to desist from violent protests. And in the absence of that, there may be a sense that it's sort of justifiable and it's acceptable. And also in the absence of many convictions in the case of previous outbreaks of violence, I don't think we've seen a huge amount of people being brought to justice. So I think that sends a message that, you know, there aren't significant consequences for, say, unions that resort to violence and strikes or protesters that use violence at local level. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of those things.
The press quotes striking miners saying that the police were defending the company, which is white-owned. Is that an issue, or to what extent is the race issue real in this, or to what extent might it even be used as a political tactic?
Absolutely. I think there is an element here of political rhetoric feeding into this. Just in June, we had the ANC policy conference, and President Jacob Zuma there addressed delegates and talked about this concept of the economy still being in the hands of white males, and talked a bit more about the lack of transformation, racial transformation in the ownership of assets and patterns of wealth and income and so on. So I think that rhetoric may feed into the frustrations. As far as the mine is concerned, I mean, a lot of these big mining companies, well, they are obliged to as part of various mining charters and also legislation, to have transformed their ownership, as it were. So they probably aren't still entirely white-owned strictly, but I think there is still this image in South Africa of particularly mining as an industry being dominated by sort of old wealth, as it were, which will be associated with those racial issues.
Is there any, perhaps, blame being pointed, any fingers being pointed at the police chief, Ria Fiega, who was appointed only in June?
Yes, I think there have been criticisms leveled towards her, not necessarily only as an individual, but in the process, mainly because she doesn't have a background in policing. This is not the first time that we've had a police commissioner who's a civilian, as it were. Her background seems to be in banking. I think she last worked in one of the big banks here. And so has been put in as an administrator, as it were. But for some time in South Africa now, there's been criticism of this idea of having a police commissioner that is not from the force itself. And I think today in a press conference, she's taken some degree of responsibility for the instructions that were given to send in this particular tactical team that then ended up shooting at the crowd. And the concern, obviously, there is if she really did give orders for this to be the response, and it wasn't just a confusion, you know, how does she know what best practice is in policing in this sort of situation without a background in policing herself?